Around year 10, going into year 11, I went through a long time of seriously questioning my faith and what I said I believed. I didn't, and I still don't know where this doubt came from, what prompted it, or when exactly it started. I just remember being in this restless state of doubt, of feeling shaken and unbalanced. I was questioning everything. Now, I grew up in a Christian home with parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles who loved God and lived out their faith. I had grown up learning about Jesus. I had been baptized. I knew he'd die for me, and I proudly called myself a Christian. I believed in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when I found myself doubting, I was really confused. I would lie in bed at night, unable to sleep, because I was just thinking about everything. Like, how do I know that my God is the real God when others think their God is the real God? I wouldn't sleep, and there were nights I'd just lie in bed crying because I was scared. I was scared that what I thought I knew wasn't real. I remember going out for my room one night and asking Mum and Dad all these questions, and I can't remember what they answered, but I came back not really feeling any better. And I'm sure they did their best. Anyway, and another time I remember, they're not here yet, I remember vividly was after school in year 11, I was watching Happy Days, and yeah, it was a rerun, I'm not that old, and I just, for some reason, I got thinking about heaven and my family, and will I know my family in heaven? And I was just like, oh! So I just lay down on the couch and cried. I did a lot of crying. And Mum came home to me crying on the couch, and it was just a normal amount of motherly concern. Oh, what's wrong? And I said, oh, will I know you in heaven? Mum didn't know. So she gave me this book called When Christ Comes. I didn't read it, just sat on my desk. I was so confused. I had question after question taking over my thoughts. I was uneasy and on edge. I couldn't take it anymore. And I remember praying something like, show me that it's real, make it make sense. And the answer I got was simply, I am. And I have peace. God is God. He didn't answer my questions about heaven, and I still don't have the answers to a lot of them. And the book that I eventually did read, and it was good, didn't cover the will I know my family in heaven question. But it didn't matter anymore. I knew God was God, and that was all that mattered. God met me in my doubt and revealed himself to me in the way I needed. He gave me peace and took me from doubting to believing. Now I can and do declare with all my heart that Jesus is my Lord and my God. Today we're reading from John chapter 20, verse 24 to 31, and it should be able to be up there. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This passage starts off with the disciples telling Thomas that they have seen the Lord, and Thomas going, nah, unless I see it and put my hand in there and stick my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. Thomas was not convinced, and he wanted visible and physical proof. Doubt is normal. It is something we all go through time and time again. Whether we are yet to work out who Jesus really is and why he impacts our life, or even if we have been a Christian for several years. Our doubts might be big or they might be small. We might be doubting God's goodness, his faithfulness to keep his promises. Or maybe like I was in year 11, you're seriously doubting who God is and why you believe. There is nothing wrong with doubt. In fact, I think that doubt can strengthen your faith, and I know it did for me. But doubt it's unsettling, and it's even scary. Faith is a journey that includes, among other things, voicing and processing our doubts to get up to a place of believing. God is constantly revealing more of himself to us through his word, through others, through his creation. And life is constantly happening, bringing in questions, situations that make us ask questions, pray heaps, and doubt. One day we might feel like we're floating on air in awe of God's power and his majesty and be in complete awe of his goodness. Then the next we're doubting God and we're going, why? Why would you let this happen? So if doubt is just one of those things, then how do we process it? How do we go from doubt to believing? We see in this story Thomas go from doubt to believing, declaring Jesus as his Lord and his God. Thomas saw and then believed that Jesus rose from the dead. So what can we learn from Thomas, from how Thomas went from doubt to believing? Well, Thomas wasn't afraid to voice his doubt. I wonder if you find it easy to voice your doubt. Do you feel judged when you voice doubt? Or maybe you love to let people know about your doubt. This year I started teaching a textiles class, and the first lesson, a student came up to me and started telling me about narwhals, the unicorns of the sea. And I'd never heard of narwhals in my life, and I thought they were pulling my leg. And I said, oh, well, I don't know what they are. Can you show me a photo? And they thought it was a horrendous crime because they thought narwhals were the best thing in the world, and they showed me all these pictures of cartoons and kind of real-life-looking images. Anyway, I still honestly didn't believe them and said, nah, they're just real. They're a myth. And again, they thought I was ridiculous and proceeded to prove me wrong with video footage from the National Geographic that they are real. And I'm still not completely convinced. They seem too good to be true, but that's beside the point. Voicing doubt takes courage. You don't know how people will respond. They might respond like my textiles class and think you're absolutely crazy. Or maybe they will be understanding and help you to start to unpack and explore your doubt. Thomas was brave and voiced his doubt. We don't learn anything about how the other disciples responded to his doubt, but we can imagine how daunting it would have been for Thomas. The other 10 disciples had already seen, and all of them told him that we have seen the Lord. Now I'm imagining Thomas surrounded by 10 like big men, and they would have been quite burly because, you know, they're on the road all the time. And Thomas, and they're going, yes, Jesus is risen. We've seen him. We know. And he's going, no, unless I see the nail marks and put my finger in there and stick my finger in his side, I'm not going to believe. I think that would have taken guts. Sometimes we think that by doubting and speaking out our doubts, we're pushing Jesus away. We're not. Jesus didn't condemn Thomas for his doubt. He came to him and showed him what he needed to believe. Do you have doubts? Questions that you've been keeping bottled up inside. You might be doubting God's love and care for you, or wondering how a good God would allow such a thing to happen to you or someone you loved. Maybe it's time to step out in courage and voice those doubts to someone you love and trust. It's not easy to be vulnerable and open, but through being open, we allow healing to start. You don't have to voice your doubt in your own strength. Just as Jesus came to Thomas, we have the Holy Spirit. He's the helper Jesus gave to us. Ask him to give you the strength you need. Next, we see that Thomas tested the evidence. Quite a few years ago, my brother fell off his bike and he hurt his knee. And he had to have surgery because it like cut all the way down to the bone and there was gravel in there and it was really gross. Anyway, the next morning, I came out to get a drink of water, and Nelson's sitting there and his leg's like up with this blue thing on it. And I said, oh, how are you? I hadn't seen him yet. He's like, oh yeah, I'm all right. Come and see the picture. I was like, nah, I'm all right. I don't want to see the picture. And he's like, no, come and see it. He was really insistent because he's really proud of this war wound. And so I ended up seeing it, and it was just disgusting. So when I'm reading that Thomas like put his hand in the wound, that's just gross. I have a vivid imagination. I imagine what it would be like, though probably shouldn't have, knowing my track record with icky stuff. That's what I forgot to say. I went back to pouring my water, woke up on the ground, cut my head open and needed stitches. So yes, anyway. So Thomas actually stuck his hand in the wound. Ew. I can't even look at a picture. I'm not going to do that. And But Thomas had said he would only believe if he saw the marks, put his hand in the marks, and stuck his hand in Jesus' side. And I thought, does he really need to do this? Jesus came to him. He was right in front of him. Did he really need to stick his hand in that wound to believe? And maybe not. The other disciples didn't. And even though it sounds awful, I like the fact that Thomas stuck his hand in there, because it shows determination to find the truth so he can believe. Thomas made sure that without a doubt, it was true. It was Jesus. Thomas physically felt just how much Jesus loved him and how much he loves us. How many times has God placed proof right in front of us, but we were too blind to see it or didn't care enough to take it and use it to leave doubt behind? I think the best example of this is the Bible. In verse 30 to 31, it says, "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The Bible was written so that we could believe. We don't have a physical Jesus to answer all our questions or to prove by sticking our hand in his wound that he really did rise from the dead. But we have the Bible. You might be thinking, but I do believe. So how does the Bible relate to my doubt? When God answered me with "I am," I knew it was him because I had read it in the Bible. I knew that it wasn't my imagination because there is written proof that God is the great I am. Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." Wherever you are from doubt to believing, I encourage you to spend time reading the Bible and soaking yourself in God's word. Test the evidence as Thomas did. If someone says something to you, weigh it up with what's in the Bible and pray and ask God to show you the truth. I also want to point out that sometimes we don't know and we never will know, and it's okay not to know. It's in the unknown we need to choose to trust God. Isaiah 55:8-9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." The next thing we see Thomas do is he chose to go from doubt to believing. I love this the parable of the sower because it highlights this choice, the choice that Thomas made, the choice we have as people and believers of what we do with the evidence and with the truth that we have been shown. So I'm going to read from Mark 4:13-20. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Thomas expressed his doubt, he tested the evidence, and he chose to believe. His immediate response to Jesus after he put his hand in his side was, "My Lord and my God." What will your response be? Will you be the good soil who heard the word or the evidence, accepted the word, and produced a crop? It's our choice. We can choose to sit and muddle around in the doubt, refusing to see the truth God has given us, or we can choose to believe that what he says is true. What will your next step from doubt to believing be? Is it time to voice your doubt? Is it time to test the evidence? Is it time to declare, or maybe again, or maybe for the first time, that Jesus is your Lord and your God? It's Easter. And at Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection, that Jesus rose from the grave, conquering death. bringing new life. We celebrate because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever should believe will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus has conquered death and he has conquered doubt. He is Lord and he is God. We're going to spend some time in silent prayer and reflection, and then the worship band will come up. And I invite you to reflect on what your response is. Is it doubt? And if it is doubt, that's okay. Could it be belief? And belief brings us to the point where his new life and his new work can begin in us.